Are you a go-go or a slow-slow or maybe even a no-go? No, it's not a new tag on social media. It's how one expert describes the phases of aging. Dr. Tony Miles, who heads the University of Georgia's Institute of Gerontology, says barring a catastrophic event, older adults generally fall into one of five major life stages that take them from active and healthy to completely dependent on others.
Harvey Cohen, who's a geriatrician at Duke, I would love to take credit for that, but I stole it from him, recognized early on that there are really five subgroups within the older adult population. Came up with the phrase that captures their functional ability and then mapped that onto a bunch of different things. So the top group are called go-go's, because they can do anything they want. They are in excellent health. They're the ones you see in the Miss Clairol commercials and the Viagra commercials. You know, they're jumping out of planes. They live in the community. Oftentimes, they will move in retirement into these fabulous big houses. And, you know, life is limitless.
But even the biggest go-go's eventually start slowing down.
If you look at Herbert Walker Bush, he was a go-go for his 75th birthday. I think he jumped out of a plane just for grins and landed safely and didn't break anything. If you've seen him recently, he's been pushed around in a wheelchair by his son. He has clearly transitioned through the phases that are in that table.
The next phase is a go-slow.
Those people still have pretty good health, and they will say that they are very good but not excellent. They are still living in the community. They, you know, manage their own affairs, but they just are, people will say, I've noticed so-and-so has slowed down. You can't quite put your finger on it, and they're not always not functional, but they're slower. But they recognize it themselves. So someone says, I don't like to drive at night. What they're telling you is that maybe they have a vision problem, or they're anxious. You know, they know it. So it's a self-awareness.
Then there are the slow goes.
So those people have reasonably good health, but they're seeing the doctor regularly for some kind of chronic problem and being helped in the management of it. Those people might have a neighbor that checks in on them periodically, or someone who delivers groceries. They might hire somebody to mow the grass. They've gone from being self-limiting to needing assistance with what we would call instrumental activities of daily living. So things that require a complex blend of cognitive performance and physical performance. Shopping is one of those things.
As function continues to decline,
The next step down from the slow goes are the slow slows. Those are people whose relatives are worried about them. They might propose that they move into an assisted living facility. They would rate themselves as having fair health. They have many critical ADL problems. They might need medication management.
And finally,
and then the last group are the no-goes. And that's a group that unfortunately a lot of people have in mind when they say, oh, that's what they're envisioning. But there's all these other people ahead of the no-goes are the ones they're arguing about end-of-life care, limiting care, you know, all of that stuff. Because the no-goes don't make choices. They have people with durable power of attorney or the state takes. So that's how all of those people fit into this scheme.
The different stages of aging also have major policy implications, including finance, healthcare, and housing. It's a matter of having the right programs in place for different needs. Miles says policymakers need to think about how all of these pieces fit together and collaborate to create the best frameworks.
This policy is always sort of this piece that people look at the problem that they are particularly interested in and they don't think across. The big picture is that there are multiple policy actors, local actors, state actors, federal actors, and that they have different pieces of the problem that they have to address.
Miles worked with the Senate Finance Committee in 2009 during the crafting of the Affordable Care Act. She says eliminating the long-term care insurance provision, known as the CLASS Act, was a mistake.
People need to be able to buy care when they are unable to care for themselves. I think it is a mistake, though, to have this age-limited conversation we're having, because there are different points along the life course, it's your life course problem, where you're going to need someone to step in and just help you. For example, when you bring a new baby home from the hospital, if you've had a C-section, you need someone to help you because you can't even lift that baby. Your abdominal muscles are injured. It's the recovery that has to take place. I have had friends who have fractured their foot and are walking around, middle-aged women in walking boots. They initially need someone in the house to come in and see about them and help them, you know, in limited, time limited. So there's always an opportunity for in-home care and supports and services. Having a siloed conversation that is only focused on the aged is a problem. We really do need to expand this. Long-term care could then return to kind of what it was. You had visiting nurses who came into your home and assessed that critical side of you. The first decision I guess we have to make is whether or not we're going to do a skinny policy, which is some basic services, or a comprehensive, I call it a Cadillac policy, that does everything for you. I think we're better off having the skinny policy approach, because that then we can market it to the young man who fractured his leg while he was playing soccer. And it will be less expensive, and you might actually get people to be comfortable with mandatory, you know, participation. But with a skinny policy, you don't get everything you might need. But that's where sort of added value, or you can step up to this, and you can scale it up that way.
It's like downloading an app for your phone and unlocking more features through in-app purchases. Baby boomers, the next generation of go-gos, should already be thinking about these later life stages. But that's hard to do when they're already stretched so thin.
You're actively parenting. You are, like I said, supporting a mortgage. You're trying to save for your own retirement, for God's sake. And you might actually be taking care of your parents. I mean, some of us have parents that don't have any resources at all. We are their backstops. Before Medicare Part D, my husband and I had a credit card on file at the Walgreens so his parents could buy their meds. You know, it's intergenerational wealth transfer, but it's transferring from us to them because they didn't have the resources or the education or whatever. Happy to do it, but that's now what we're paying for. So it is really to have to think about buying long-term care insurance on top of all of that is crazy. So that's why if you just selling the no-go life to a go-go is hard, you know, and they're certainly not going to be able to afford a Cadillac. So we need basic transportation. That's the problem that I see.
Miles sees long-term care policies moving away from nursing homes and towards home and community services.
Nursing homes will only be the province of the well-to-do.
And public housing, where many seniors already live, may be one answer.
I see it as the next surrogate. That's why I do public health. We think about these things for ourselves as individuals. In public health, we think about it at a population level. And in Georgia, for example, I live in Georgia. This is why I'm not picking on Georgia. This is why I quote Georgia statistics. There are 250,000 people today with some kind of cognitive impairment or diagnosis of dementia. 250,000 people. You can't move them around. They're out there. Some of them are still on the expressway driving. Yes, scary thought. So we have to think about solutions that are big enough to meet the challenge. Politics. Can't talk policy without politics.
Some older adults have planned well. Others, not so much. That puts a greater burden on society and social safety nets.
What's different about older adults is that we haven't had the conversation yet about how much responsibility we have as we enter old age for ourselves. I mean, this is the way I look at it for myself. You know, my child is my child and had no choice, and so I am responsible for them. But I am responsible to some extent for how I arrive at old age and what resources I can bring. And then the social contract says, okay, in our society, we owe each other something. Just what that is, we haven't decided yet.
But whether you're already a go-go or just starting to think about life's phases, Miles says it's never too late to plan.
You have to envision your future debilitate itself. That is so hard. No one wants to do that. You know, boomers went all flat out. Remember the go-go 80s? People would do cocaine to keep going, whatever it took, speed, whatever, just to get out there. And we're going to have to think more, be more intentional about how we live our lives, because those marks are what age us. So I think that's, and at every age, that helps. And we're going to have to give up the idea that you're done schooling. Okay? Because the biggest antidote to debilitation as you live, because I hate the word aging, I just do. It's not descriptive, right? Is education. So you should always be learning new things. And it doesn't have to be academic type learning, you know, whatever makes you happy. But that's what I'm saying. Do whatever it is you're going to do at a very high level so that your brain is engaged, so your body's engaged. That is the best antidote to that peculiar deterioration that we call aging.
In the meantime, what can we do to help ourselves when we become a go slow or a slow go?
Eat your vegetables. Sweat as often as you can. I mean, exercise. And get a good night's sleep. Really. Those three things will do a lot for preserving your cognitive function. I mean, that's really the thing that will get you as far as you can go with your own aging is having a brain that works. Because then you can accommodate your own disability. You can make the decisions that you need to make. Good choices, all of that stuff. But anticipate that even that organ will fail and find a surrogate brain that can take it up when you need to.
For HealthCetera, I'm Liz Siegert.